Ephesians chapter number one. Find our text tonight in Ephesians chapter number one. Ephesians chapter number one, we'll begin reading in verse number 18. The Bible says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to the head of over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Father, tonight we want to thank you for this hour, for the opportunity to be in the house of God, to come, to read, and to worship, and adore this one that gave his life for us. We thank you for the songs that were sung. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's able to attend. Those that are watching by the way of internet, I pray, Father, that you would help us and you would manifest yourself. You would come by and speak to our hearts and have your will, have your way in your home tonight. We'll love you and we'll praise you and we'll thank you for all you accomplish. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians, as we're reading these first few chapters of the book of Ephesians, we find that Paul begins to write and he begins to make some references about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He begins to describe and he begins to detail some of the characteristics, some of the traits, some of the qualities, some of the attributes of our Savior. Paul talks about here in the first two and three, first, second, and third chapter of the book of Ephesians, he mentions our Savior's will. He goes on and he tells us we are partakers of his grace. He says that we are redeemed by his blood. Paul mentions his good pleasure. He goes on and tells how why we magnify him and we exalt him because of his glory. He says that we enjoy his riches and it's because of his calling we have his inheritance. And Paul is writing to this church and it's under the divine inspiration of the Holy Ghost and he's describing God, our Savior Jesus Christ. He gives these contents of the believer and what he has, God, this one he describes, what he has deposited into our spiritual bank account. You know, tonight you may not have much deposited in your earthly physical bank account. But here in Ephesians, Paul describes riches such as adoption and acceptance and redemption and citizenship, forgiveness and wisdom, spiritual blessings that we all have tonight as born-again believers. Tonight you are spiritually rich. Tonight we are spiritually wealthy. And as the song says, if blessings, these things, the riches of his grace, if we have those, if blessings were diamonds, we are rich as a king. In verse number 7, chapter 1, Paul speaks of his grace and he describes of the riches of his grace. Aren't you glad for the grace of God tonight? Where would we be without God's grace? That grace wherewith he loved us. And then in chapter 2, he begins to mention his love and describes it as his great love. I'm thankful for the love of God. He loved me, even though despite myself and my sins and my ways, Jesus Christ love me like no other. He says his love. But as we read verse number 19, he begins to describe something that I don't think Paul has the mere words to describe. He mentions his power. And he begins to talk about his power. I don't think he can describe it accurately and relay it to the church. And he cannot just say his power. He cannot just say his might. But in verse 19, he says, "What is the exceedingly greatness of his power?" Then he says, "According to his mighty power." He's describing the power of this thrice holy God that's in heaven, that earth is his footstool, and he tells it's great power, it's mighty power. And I'd like to look at that power just for a few moments tonight. He describes this power, who you and I tonight, as a believer, we serve. And Paul says, what is exceedingly greatness in verse number 19 of his power, then he says it's his mighty power. This powerful one tonight that I'm trying to brag on, that I'm trying to exalt, that I'm trying to uplift and magnify, he needs no counsel. He needs no advice. His power, his ability, his might, I want to say as Paul, I believe it is indescribable. God, the one that has all this power, Jesus himself, all power. He said, I didn't have just a little power. I didn't have just some power. But he said, all power on heaven and in earth is given unto me. We serve a mighty God tonight, church. I don't know tonight what is it that bothers you. I don't know what is it that worries you and keeps you up at night and troubles you. But I'm talking about a God, a Savior, a Redeemer, a Lord tonight that has all authority, all power, and everything is under his control. There's nothing, no nothing that you're facing, that you're going through, that you come in contact with, that is above, that is beyond, that is out of, that is beyond the power of the Savior that we serve. We often, I believe, Pastor, we view our problems and we view our obstacles, things that we're facing, the things that surround us. We have it to blur the view of the power of this one that Paul talks about. But tonight, just for a minute, just for a few moments, I'd like to brag on this one that has this exceedingly great power. Notice in our text how this power was demonstrated. I mean, how this power was shown forth. How was it given to you and I, manifested that you and I could comprehend this exceedingly great power, this mighty power. Look at verse number 19. He says, what is the exceedingly greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the power of his, according to the working of his mighty power. Here it is. Here's the demonstration. Here's how he shows us. Here's how he demonstrated this mighty power. Verse number 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. How did God demonstrate this exceedingly, this great, this mighty power? Some 2,000 years ago, his son hung, his son died, his son bled on the cross, he was buried, but thank God, 3 days later, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He showed us this power through the resurrection of his darling son, Jesus Christ. A power that could cause one to resurrect from the dead. Jesus speaking of his own death. He said that no man, no one, no thing, no man, he said no man can take it from me, but I lay it down myself. And if I have the power to lay it down, what did he say? I have the power to take it up again. Resurrection power. God, what about a God tonight? A God that can get up, and then a God that can go up. And then he said he set him on the right hand. Look at the demonstration. How did he demonstrate this exceedingly great power, this mighty power? Well, he got up from the grave. He went up into to the high of heavens in verse 21. Far above all principality and the power and the might and dominion and every name that is named, not in this world. He didn't demonstrate it by getting up. He demonstrated it by going up. And there's not a principality. There's not an office. There's not an administration. There's not an institute, a power, a dominion, a name in this world that he's not above, that he's not on top of, that he's not beyond. What a mighty God we serve. It was demonstrated when he got up out of the grave, when he arose again. And now he's seated at the right hand of God. How long is this power going to last? I mean, he demonstrated it by his resurrection. He demonstrated it by him getting up and by him going up. But how about the duration? When's this power end? When's this power fizzle out? How long is this power going to last? He said it was. He's far above all principality, verse 21. And power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not in this world, but also in that which is to come. Let me say tonight, church, his power is out of this world. I mean, it's eternal power. It's everlasting power. It's never-ending power. His power is not only here, but his power will be there when we get to that new earth, that new heaven. He'll still be ruling. He'll still be reigning. He'll still be having all the power. You know, our pastor talked about it this morning. This world, it hates, it denies, it resists his power. He spoke on that liberalism and humanism and modernism. Creation, it was just a big bang. Man, he's evolved. Religion, it's just a based on reason and science and individualism. That power ends with this world. But his power, his duration will last not only in this world, but that which is to come. It's an everlasting power. What a mighty God we serve. His duration, it's everlasting. The demonstration he used by getting up and going up. But notice the direction of this power. How does this help us tonight? I mean, we get excited and we're thrilled and we're rejoicing and we're praising that we serve a mighty God, that he's everlasting, he's all powerful. But how's that power help us? 2024, walking in this wicked world, walking in the darkness. How does that help us? What's the direction of his power? Verse number 19. And what is the exceedingly greatness of his power to usward who believe? All that power, all that authority, that resurrection power, that ever-ending power, that power that's above principalities and dominions and might, he's pointed it my way and your way. And if you're born again tonight, he's directed that same power to you. A power directed, a power aimed, a power administered to each and every believer, to usward who believe. That ought to give us confidence, church. If you're saved tonight, this power I'm speaking of, it's working in your life. In all my problems, in all my heartaches, and in all my obstacles, and all my troubles, this power is available. So church, why are we fearful when this power is available to us? Why are we so unstable if this power is available to us? Why are we so worried and fretful if this power is available to us? We thank God, we praise him, we rejoice that God has all this power. But we just read that he's directed, he's aimed, he's administered to usward who believe. Miss Shirley sang about it last week, I believe it was. Tempted and tried, we're off made to wonder. Burdened we are, and troubled we are, and pressed down and beaten down. Problems all around. Let me say, number one, that His power is greater than that which you contend with. It's greater than, look with me in chapter 2, verse number 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2. You know, the one we contend with tonight, our adversary, Satan, he has some power. Look at chapter 2, verse number 2. Or let's go to verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Our adversary, Satan, his power, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 3, when we were lost, it worked in us. It was working inside of us. But now those to usward which believe, those that are saved, this power we spoke about, Satan's power, it no longer works in us, but it works against us. We're contending with this power. What are we contending with? Surely you don't think all this ungodly stuff, all this wicked, all this immoral, all this blasphemous things we are inundated with on the news and all around us is just man's agenda or is just man's dreams. We're not contending tonight, church, with Washington. We're not contending with God deniers. We're not contending with regimes. But there is an active destroyer of your soul that wants to steal, kill, and destroy you and all that God has instituted in your life. These principalities, these powers, these rulers of dark places. Turn with me to chapter 6, verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These principalities, these powers, these rulers of the darkness and the spiritual weakness in high places, it's what we're contending with. It's not only contending with us as individual believers, but it's contending with the church. And mom, dad, it's contending with your family, your children, that want to steal your children's mind and steal your children's life. But let me say tonight, His power is greater than what we contend with. You say, preacher, what keeps this at bay? What keeps these principalities and this spiritual wickedness and this darkness in high places at bay? What's holding back? What's pushing it back? What's towing the line? What's keeping the church? What's keeping the family? What's keeping left of our country? Remember what he says here in chapter 6, verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not. Looked up that word wrestle in a coordinates this afternoon. And it says this wrestling, this contending, is a contest between two, which each endeavor to throw each other, which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down with his hand upon his neck. So we're wrestling. We're contending with these principalities and powers and rulers and darkness and spiritual places. But our text says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 21, that his power, our Savior's power, which being directed and aimed toward us, is far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not in this world, but also in that which is to come. His power, it's far above. It's greater. It's more than any power, principality, might, or dominion. And that concordance said that while we're contending, the victor will be rewarded. The victor will be decided when he has this one he's wrestling against with his hand upon his neck. Not in our text. Our text says, verse 22, speaking of our Savior, that's directed and aimed this power toward us and hath put all things under his feet. Church, this power that God has endued and directed and aimed and given us because we're in Christ, we're not wrestling against these spiritual wickednesses in high places. Tonight, we're not victors because we have it down and with our hand upon his neck. It's the idea of we can stand here tonight victorious in Christ Jesus with it under our foot. What a mighty God we serve. Let me say to number one, his power is greater than that which we contend with. Number two, his power is greater than your complications. Apostle Paul, he's writing to the Gentiles. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. He's taking the gospel to a group of people that's outside the fold, who's outside God, the Jewish nation. And he's speaking to this church of Ephesus. He's speaking to the body of Christ, the church. He's telling them about this hidden mystery, this unknown mystery that now has been revealed. He's saying that the grace of God has been bestowed upon me to make this mystery known. Look at chapter 3, verse number 6. Or verse number 5. Chapter 3, verse number 5. The Bible says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles by the prophets, by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul saying God is working in my life with his power to enable me to do that which he's called me to do. And in verse number 8 he says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, Lord, you save me, you redeem me, but I can't do this. Who am I, Lord? I'm the least of the least. I'm less of the least. Paul said, Lord, you know my past. I'm talking about his power is greater than any complication you may have. In 1 Timothy, you don't have to turn, 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul's talking about his complications. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, who hath strengthened me, who hath increased me, who hath empowered me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So what was Paul's complications? He says, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy. Paul's saying that the Lord has given me this power. His power is greater than my complications. I murdered Christians. I persecuted them. I tried to snuff out this thing called Christianity. I did everything I could. Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord God? Why can you, how can you use me? I'm not qualified. But he said in Ephesians 3:7, the grace of God was given to me by the effectual working of his power. I'm trying to tell you tonight, church, that his power is greater than any complication you may have. You say, preacher, I'd like to get saved, but you don't know all that's going on. You don't know all that entails my life. His power is greater. You say, preacher, my family is a wreck. My family's being torn apart. It's problem after problem after problem. His power is greater. A power that can save. A power that can heal. A power that can touch. A power that can use. A power that can help. If you'll just let him tonight. This power, I wrote my notes just a moment ago. It's not reform, but it's redemption. This power, it's not turning over a new leaf, but it's the touch of God. This power, it's not just shaping up, but it's setting you apart and sanctifying you. You have complications tonight? His power is greater. Are you contending? You struggling? You wrestling tonight? His power is greater. Thirdly, and I'm finished. Let me say number three, his power is more than we can comprehend. Ephesians 3:20. You know the verse well? Chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. His power is more than we can comprehend. Next Sunday morning, we come into the sanctuary. God begins to move. He begins to manifest himself. Pastor preaches and gives the altar call, and the Lord changes and saves and redeems and births 10 precious souls into the body of Christ. That'd be great. I mean, that'd be glorious. That'd be wonderful, church. God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than that. Next Sunday morning, Brother Jason can't get all the youth onto the pulpit, onto the stage, because God has worked in their heart and God has done something with our youth. And here we have a great youth group. You say that's far-fetched. That's dreaming. That's just wishful thinking. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. That family member you're praying for, that'd be great if God would hear your prayer. Be great if God would begin to move and God would save. But what about him saving not only that family member, but your coworkers and your peers and those that your friends that you don't have a burden for? Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Church, our Savior, he's not anemic. He's not weak. He's not frail. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. So why is it? The Lord spoke to my heart this afternoon. Why is it we've given up on that prayer we used to pray? We haven't seen any results. Seems like it's useless. Seems like it's to no effect. God must not be able to do it. Church, his power is more than we can comprehend. I'm glad tonight when my faith is weak, he's still able. I'm glad tonight when I don't know what I need, he still supplies. What are you praying for tonight? That's good. Whatever you're praying for, if it's for his will or for his good and our good and his will, that's a great prayer. But he wants to do exceedingly, abundantly more than what you're praying for. His power is greater than our complications. His power is greater than we can comprehend. His power is greater than what you're contending with tonight. Let's stand tonight. Anna Lee, if you'll come and play something on the piano. Maybe the Lord's spoken to you and you just want to come and seek His face. Seek His will. His power has been directed, it's been aimed, it's been given to usward, which believe. Father, tonight we want to thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for all these riches that Paul writes about. We thank You, Father, for all the attributes that we have in You because we're in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would help our church congregation. I pray, Father, that You would help our people that are hurting, that are seeking, that are contending. God, You know the need. Father, You can help. You can supply. You can touch. Father, You want to do that greater, abundantly more than we can even ask, think, or comprehend tonight. I pray, Father, You would grant it according to Your riches and glory. Father, we need You. We're asking for Your touch. We're asking for the power that comes through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the resurrection power. We thank You for that, Lord. Thank You for salvation. We bless Your sweet holy name for who You are and for what You've done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Brother Gunn, for that powerful message about the power to usward. Brother Gunn, I read that 19th verse. He told us about all our dreams and hopes about the salvation of the lost and the increase their youth, all that. Not only do I believe He can, I believe He will. Look at the next verse. Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages. It didn't stop in the last generation. It didn't stop last year. Throughout all generations, His power. And all we have to do is believe it, accept it, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We appreciate it, Brother Gunn. Appreciate the response and all God has done for everyone of us. You can be seated. We have a business meeting. We'll call the church into session.